She prayed all that night, and that night she went into this little boy's room where there was a record player that hadn't played for a number of months, and it's just was no longer of any good. And as she was praying, she had asked God just to give her some kind of sign that everything would be okay. And for whatever reason, that night she plugged in that little boy's record player only to hear Yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay, get along, little doggies. The record player worked for the first time in a long time, and she took that as her sign. The little boy turned out to be okay. The doctors came back and said, everything seems to be better now. That lady's name was Lois McJunkin, and that little boy was Wayne McJunkin, a member of our church, if you don't know him. There was something the doctors couldn't do, and his mother prayed, and God took what man couldn't do, and God made it well. Faith is coming to God with the recognition that only He can give us what we need. Faith is coming to God with the recognition that only He can give us what we need. And God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to Him in faith. God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to Him in faith. You could ask Kevin Taylor here, another member of our church, and he can tell you a story that illustrates these same things. Maybe not as serious, maybe just a more everyday kind of story, but seeing God at work. Kevin shared with me this week about his father, who also ran a landscaping business. His dad had a contract down in Columbia, South Carolina, to do some work in a government housing area. And in the middle of this government housing area, there was a gully that ran through where the water runoff would leave this area. And Kevin's father and Kevin, working with him, were there to lay sod in this area to prevent all the runoff. They had spent a few days clearing this out and raking and getting everything ready. They had hired some boys from that area to come in, that apartment complex, that community, to come and help them get ready. And the pallets were set out in their places. They're ready to lay the sod. They have done days of labor, ready to go. And the rain clouds began to come. You know, those hot summer rainstorms that pop up and can just be nasty and wash all of their work away. And so before they began laying sod, Kevin told me his dad simply called everyone together. All of these guys together who don't know him from Adam, just come in and doing work for him. And he called them together and says, boys, the rain's coming, let's pray. Let's not just pray, let's get on our knees right here and let's pray and let's ask God to step in. And that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what God did. Kevin said they could see the rain coming, and then it just stopped. They could see the rain falling right there. It just stopped. He said it was close enough that the trickle of the water made it down to the gully where they were, but the rain never landed there, and they were able to get their work done. Now, you might say that's not a big deal, but that's a display of God's power where man couldn't do anything. You know, the next day, Kevin told me that the moms of some of these boys came to him and said to Kevin's dad, hey, are you the guy who stopped the rain? I got something you can pray for me. Faith is coming to God with the recognition that only He can give us what we need, and God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to Him in faith. I can tell you the same thing about Miss June right over here. Miss June, who joined our church just recently. And as I sat with Miss June recently to discuss with her about our church, but also just get to know her, and I heard story after story from this lady's life of how God answered prayers through her. She told me how she used to work as a nurse's assistant in Ohio, and I hope it's okay that I share this story, Miss June. She used to work as a nurse's assistant in Ohio, and she worked there for about 15 years. And after she had been there for a number of years and going in and working with these patients and just taking their vitals and getting to know them and praying with everyone she had an opportunity to pray with, how one day in particular she was asked to go to a different floor and work there and help out there. And as she was on this different floor, a surgeon came in, and she had not met him. She knew him by name. And he saw her name tag. Are you June Taylor? Yes, sir. Are you the June Taylor who heals people? Well, I'm the June Taylor who prays, right? God's the one who heals people. He told her how he had a stack of cards in his office of names that he couldn't explain their healing except for that she prayed for them. Faith is coming to God with a recognition that only he can give us what we need, and God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to him in faith. These are the two truths we see in this passage in Mark chapter 5. Would you bow with me now and let's pray and ask God to teach us in this time. Father, we ask you to do just that. Lord, teach us. Teach us. God, we need to be encouraged in our faith. We need to be encouraged to come to you and express that faith in prayer. We need to be encouraged to come and ask. And you encourage us over and over and over again in your word, Lord. You do that explicitly when you tell us to ask and we'll receive, to seek and we'll find, to knock and the door will be open. You call us to pray, but here, Lord, you give us an example. You give us this example, these stories of people in desperate need who came to you seeking what only you could do. And so, Lord, as we look at these stories today, may we remember they're true, they're in your word. And may these truths then encourage our lives that we would leave here a praying people, maybe more than ever. Thank you that you are ready and able, God, you are ready and able to give us what we need when we come to you in faith. And so we ask in faith now that you would teach us. And we pray this in the name of Christ, and we pray this for his glory. Amen. So Mark tells us that Jesus had come back in the boat, the other side of the sea. This is immediately after the story we read about last week where Jesus healed the demon-possessed man. He had been on the opposite side of the sea. And remember, after he healed that man, he was asked to leave that region. The people were scared of this power. And they said, Jesus, you gotta get out of here. And so this is following right on the heels. And as he gets back to the side where he has been laboring in ministry, really all of these chapters in Mark that we've covered so far, this is where Jesus has been. And as he comes back across, crowds meet him. We've read about crowds. We've talked about crowds already as we've studied the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 1, verse 28, it says that his fame has spread across the entire region and people were coming from everywhere to see him. In chapter 1, verse 33, it says the whole city was there outside his door. In chapter 1, verse 45, again, people were coming from everywhere. And in chapter 2, we read how streets were filled when he was around. In chapter 3, great crowds came, so much so that he couldn't even eat or they were pressing around him to crush him. That's this kind of crowd here. And Jairus makes his way through this crowd to get to Jesus. And we're introduced to him as the ruler of the synagogue. You could think of that as maybe the president of the synagogue. He would have been elected its leader of the synagogue, of that town, that city. It was his job to be sure that people were lined up to teach the scriptures when they met. It was his job to make sure they had the scrolls that they needed. He was a man of high standing in that town, in that religious community. He had connections. But there comes a time in all of our lives when we realize that our earthly connections mean very little. There comes a time when we realize that we need help that only God can give. And Jairus comes to Jesus not acting in any official capacity, but he's in desperate need. And we see that. He falls at his feet. It's an act of humility. It's a recognition that he's in the presence of someone who's worthy of devotion. This man, this leader, this ruler of the synagogue begs Jesus, my daughter's dying. My daughter's about to die. Jesus, we've done everything. You can help her. Would you come with me? He had faith. He came to God. He came to God with the recognition that God is able to give us what we need. I wonder how often we come to Jesus with that recognition. How often do you go to Jesus with that recognition, understanding that only he can give you what you desperately need? When I began working on this week and was studying this, that word I kept in there, I had in there originally that faith is coming to God with the recognition that only He can give us what we desperately need. That's what we're seeing here in these stories, intense faith in a desperate situation. And we learned that when we come to God in that way, He can give us what we need in these desperate situations. But wisdom is knowing that this includes everything. Faith is coming to God with the recognition that only He can give us what we need, and wisdom is knowing that this includes everything. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, he just asked a question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we'll put it up on the screen for you. He just asked a question. What do we have? What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? And the answer is, everything I have, I've received from Him. And there's nothing I can look at and say, I got this on my own. Well, Bert, you worked for this, or you studied for this, or you did these things. Well, who gave me the ability to do that? Every breath I take is a gift from above. What do I have that I did not receive? Nothing. And so everything then is something that I desperately need from God. Every heartbeat I desperately need from God, and only He can give me that. So everything then is a matter for prayer. That's why in our 40 days of prayer this year, I hope you're working through that prayer guide. That's why that prayer guide, we're covering such a wide variety of things to pray about, because there is nothing in this church that we can grow. There is nothing in this church that we can make bear fruit on our own apart from God. We need Him for everything in His. When I met with the personnel committee in November, I believe, I'm looking for you, Sherry. When I met with the personnel committee in November, when I met with the personnel committee in November, the very first thing we set out to do was to pray and pray that God would send us the very best associate pastor. That's what we began to do, Jill. That's what we began to do. We said, let's pray. Let's commit to pray this every single day throughout this whole process. Let's keep praying that God will send us His best. You know, we got 43-ish, 45-ish, 40-some-odd resumes in. You know who the very first resume we got in was? The very first one, Toby Flemings. We prayed, God, send us your best. And the very first resume that came through, I mean, it's like you're saying, here it is, you know. And we continue to work through this process, and we continue to pray. And as we continue to pray and we continue to work through this process, and we go through everything that we're supposed to do, which we had to do, and I'm glad we did, because now we sit here and we can say with confidence, hey, we're confident in this. This is God's best right here. God sent us that right away, the very first one that came across. I don't think that's an accident. I think God is showing us as we ask, He gives. He loves to give His best to His children. And so we pray. We pray. We come to Him in faith for the women's ministry and the men's ministry. We come to Him in faith and prayer for the Joy Club and for the children's ministries and the students' ministries. We come to Him in faith and prayer for our Sunday school classes and our members and our teachers. We come to Him in faith and prayer, and we ask Him to grow in us a love for the Word. These are all things that God has to do in us. We have an Easter egg hunt coming up. Is that on your prayer list? That's an opportunity to pray. Pray that God would do something. Our students have a big event this weekend, a D-Now this weekend, Friday night and Saturday. That should be on your prayer list. It's an opportunity for God to do something significant in the lives of these students, and only He can do it. And so we need to pray. Faith is coming to God with the recognition that only He can give us what we need, and wisdom recognizes that this is for everything. That means there's nothing too small for you to pray about. There's nothing too insignificant, and there's nothing too big. There's nothing too big. God can handle everything. And so the key question is this. Do you recognize that only God can meet your need? This man did. And so he came to Jesus. And Jesus left to go with him. And the crowd here, again, is just pressing all around him. And Students, you guys, we've been to Winter Jam before, and Winter Jam is an incredible concert event right here in Greenville. They travel all over the place, and I love Winter Jam for the concert, but I hate Winter Jam for the crowds. When you go to Winter Jam, you're literally, as you're walking into the Bilo, the Bon Secours Arena, I can never remember what we call that thing, and we walk into the Bon Secours Arena, you're literally getting pushed around by the crowd. There's people all around you. They're just touching you, and you can't help it. This is the situation that's going on. Jesus is being, he's being pressed in, and everyone is all around him, reaching out to touch him, and she comes. Mark just identifies her as a woman. There's no name. That doesn't mean she's not important. As we're going to see, she turns out to be the paradigm for faith in this story. She's the one who shows us what faith in action looks like. She had the kind of faith we're talking about here. This chronic bleeding for 12 years. She's been an outcast. She would have been considered unclean. 12 years ostracized from society, on the fringes. And it wasn't because she hadn't tried to get better. She's tried. Look at verse 26. She suffered much under many physicians. She had spent all that she had. She had given all her money to get better. She had suffered much under many physicians. She had spent all that she had, but not only was she not better, she had actually gotten worse because of everything. She had tried. And like the man, she hit the point where she realized there's only one thing left to do. She had to shift her focus from her circumstances to her Savior and find that he could do what no man could do for her. Verse 27 is Mark's model for faith. A disciple in Mark's gospel is someone who acts in faith on what he knows to be true about Jesus. That's what we see her do right here. Verse 27, she heard the reports about Jesus. She came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. She heard about him. She came to him. She touched him in faith, and immediately she was healed. And this is where Mark shows us that second truth. The one we've already discussed, faith is coming to God with the recognition that only he can give us what we need, and God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to him in faith. I got an email this week from Miss Sammy Daigle. I had asked some of our church leaders to just share with me some of their stories of answered prayer. And Miss Sammy, I'm just going to read your email because you wrote it better than I could say. She said, Jerry and I both agree that one of the greatest prayers God had answered for us was one regarding our youngest son, Glenn. Glenn was baptized when he was young, but he would tell you very quickly he was not saved. He took a lot of wrong turns in his life, but God continued to spare him. Alcohol and some drugs plagued him for some time. He was raised right, and he knew right from wrong, but he made a lot of bad choices. When he was 25, Glenn left our house and headed to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, to stay with some friends involved in that same lifestyle. He said as he was going around the mountains, it was like God spoke to him very loudly from the mountain that if he didn't get his life together and give it to him, he wasn't going to make it. It was so loud and clear. He pulled off on the side of the road. He said he didn't know how to pray. The phone in his car had not worked for weeks, but he picked it up to call me. It was working, but he didn't get me, so he called our oldest son, Marty, and he talked to him. Right there, he prayed and asked God to forgive him and to come into his heart and save him. He said he knew instantly that he was changed. He went on to Gatlinburg. He met up with his friends, but he couldn't participate in what they were doing. He said God just wouldn't let him. He left, headed back home. I finally got him on the phone, and I asked him if he was okay. He said, Mom, I'm the best I've ever been in my life, and he told me what happened. Sammy wrote, praise God for answered prayer. He was tempted and struggled many times after being saved, but God kept his hands on him and continued to bring him back into the fold, and today he's 46 and he serves God. Faith is going to God. Faith is going to God with the recognition that Only he can give us what we need, and God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to him, when we come to him by faith. He desires to make us whole. He desires to restore us. He desires to bring us back into relationship with him and give us peace. And that's exactly what we see with this woman as he brings her back. Jesus felt that power had gone out of him. He sensed that in some way as a mystery to us. We don't totally understand, but he knew that. He perceived that. And he looks around, and the crowd is there all around him. And who touched me? And his disciples can't believe he would even ask that question. What do you mean, who touched me? The woman had gone back into hiding in the crowds. And as one author wrote, she wanted a cure. She wanted a something. But Jesus desired a personal encounter with a someone. He's not content to just dispatch a miracle. He wants to encounter a person. When I read this week, I just had to ask, why did Jesus ensure that she was identified? Why did he make sure that she was made known in the middle of that whole crowd, that they would see that it was her? Why did he make her come forward? Why didn't he just go to her later? Why did he insist on speaking with her and not let her just slink back into the shadows? He did those things because he loved her. Because he loved her. He didn't want her to stay with this faulty understanding. She had this idea that it was like magic. If she just touched him, she would be made well. His garment didn't make her well. He made her well through grace, and she received that through her faith. If he didn't speak to her, she would have never known that. Listen, there's no magic in prayer. It's not magic. There's not a secret spot to come to or a certain way to sit or a certain thing to hold. We're not buying God's favor. We're receiving grace through faith. That's what prayer is. Jesus wanted her to know not really what healed her, but who healed her. And he desired that she be brought near to him. He desired that she have a personal encounter with him. He restored her. Think about it. She's been an outcast more than a decade, and right there in front of everyone, he declares she's now clean. She's now healed. He restores her. He gives her the grace of hearing a declaration of peace from God's own lips. He loved her. Jesus doesn't just give us what we think we need. He gives us what we most desperately need. He gives us restoration and peace that comes through a personal encounter with him. That's why prayer for us is so important. Prayer begins that relationship, and for us believers, prayer continues that relationship. Listen, there's some in this room who need to begin that relationship, and you begin that relationship through faith, and you express that by crying out to him in faith, by praying to him in faith to save you. And we all continue that relationship of faith through prayer. It's our access to God's throne. While Jesus is speaking with this woman, he overhears something, it says. Now, this word overhears can mean that he literally just overhears something, or it can actually mean he's choosing to ignore it as well. And really, both of these things are coming into play here. Jesus hears. Imagine you're Jairus, and Jesus is coming with you. There's hope for your daughter. But he stops. He's distracted. She's lying at death's door, and the only one who can help her is just talking to this lady over here. Come on, Jesus, we got to go. Come with me. And while this is going on, Jesus, while he's speaking to the lady, Jesus hears people come and say, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead." Can you imagine the grief? Some of you know that grief. Can you imagine the grief that would come over this mother, this father as he hears, "Your daughter has died"? There's a crisis of belief at this moment. The situation is beyond all hope. Some of you know exactly what that feels like. In a different way, Faye and Ray Goodwin know exactly what that feels like, to be beyond all hope. Lisa Green, their daughter, was 14 years old. She was at Fripp Island with some neighbors. Many of you know this. She was at Fripp Island with some neighbors when she was in a pool and with her friends, and she dove into this pool and hit her head, and her spinal cord was severed. She was lying face down at the top of the water. They had been playing dead man's float there for a while, and so at first they thought that she was just playing until the neighbor came over, her friend came over to check on her, and as her head lifted up and he saw a little blood come out of her mouth where she had bit her lip when she went under, he realized it was serious. There just so happened to be a paramedic who was there at the pool that day, who Lisa had already talked to and kind of made friends with, as Lisa does. He carefully got her out of the pool and carefully stabilized her head until someone could come to her. They took her to one hospital and then another, and then she ended up at the medical university. All the while, they're trying to get a hold of Ray and Faye Goodwin, her mother and father, who were camping at the time in Greenwood. When they finally got a hold of them, and Ray drove the speed limit all the way to Charleston, I'm sure. When Ray and Faye made it down to the medical university, they just heard her spinal cord is severed and she'll never walk again. It's beyond hope. This church here didn't just have a regular Sunday morning service that week. They had a prayer meeting to pray for her, to pray that God would step in and do something that man couldn't do. More than a year passed. Slowly but surely, Lisa began to regain movement. Her family went back down to Fripp Island together this time. They had been given a trip down there, and they go back together, and Miss Faye wanted to go and visit the doctors and just tell them thank you for what they had done to serve her daughter. And as they went to see the doctors and they saw Lisa moving and even standing and even taking steps, they were just astounded. Come back and see us. Let's do some tests. Let's see what's going on here. So they came back at the end of that week, and the doctors ran their tests, and they did their scans, and they said the spinal cord was severed. She shouldn't be able to walk. And the doctor told Ray and Faye Goodwin, sometimes we just have to admit that there's a God and we're not Him. Faith is going to God in the recognition that He can do what we need. And God is ready and able. God is ready and able to give us what we need when we come to Him, when we come to Him in faith. Some things are beyond our hope, and faith recognizes that nothing is ever beyond our God. Jesus told this man, don't fear, just keep believing. He had seen that. He had seen that in action in this lady when she came to Jesus. He had seen a model for that. Just keep believing, he said. Nothing has changed in your circumstances, Jairus. Nothing has changed in who I am. You keep believing. And he goes and he raises the daughter back to life. What do we do with this? I think we already know what we're to do with this. I think we already know how we're to respond to this. Let me ask you this. What keeps you from coming to Him in faith? What keeps you from coming to Him in prayer? Is it because you feel like you're unclean? This woman was unclean. This little girl, a corpse, would have been unclean. Jesus makes unclean things clean. That's the beauty of the gospel. You call out to Him, Lord, I'm unclean, but cleanse me. That's a prayer of faith, and He'll do that. He'll do that, and you can begin that relationship with Him. Maybe you feel unimportant, but Jesus answers the important people like Jairus, but He answers the unimportant people as well. Your social standing makes no difference. There's no hindrance to access to God. The only prerequisite to your access to God is faith in Jesus. That's it. Would you trust Him and come to Him in faith and pray? Some of us need to do that for the very, very first time. And others in this room, we need to be encouraged to do that over and over and over again. He's a God ready and able to give us what we need as we come to Him in faith. Let's bow. Let's pray. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up. They're going to lead us in one song. He's stronger. He can meet our needs. Let's pray together. Our Father, we confess now, Lord, that we often lack faith. And that's revealed in that we don't come to You in prayer as we should. Sometimes, Lord, we just wait until the tragedy strikes and then we pray. God, that's okay that we pray in those times. And Lord, that's comforting to know that we can look to you in those times, but God, you would have us come to you at all times and for all things. So Lord, I pray that you would encourage us. Encourage that one in this room who was maybe facing an issue with their job and maybe worried about being laid off, or if there's work, or maybe they need work. Encourage them to come to you in faith. Maybe that one who's facing a situation with their family, maybe with their parents and their parents' health, or maybe with a child who's wandering from you, or maybe with strife with someone in their family. God, I pray that they would be encouraged today to come to you in faith. God, in everything that we're trying to do here as a church, is we want to be a people who are magnifying you, who are maturing, who are ministering, and who are multiplying. We can't do those things apart from you at work. And so, Lord, help us to come to you in faith and ask you to do what only you can do. God, as we sing this song now, remind us of this truth. You're stronger. You've already proven that to us when you've broken the power of sin and you've saved us. And so we praise you. We praise you now. We pray this in the name of Christ.